We're on the move. On the streets. The alleyways. I'm in an alleyway. I'm turning on to a street. This is technically a street. Alleys are streets, too. Dota hats. Okay. Now you've got my attention. Didn't realize I was walking right into hat chat. There's a Dolph Ziggler Dota hat? Is that what I'm reading here? I would not buy a Dolph Ziggler Dota hat. Because it's a Dota hat. I mean, if it was for something, if there was like a good Dolph Ziggler skin for, I don't know. I was going to say Street Fighter, but no, probably not, actually. Is Dolph Ziggler skin for Rhino? Wait, what? Dress Rhino up like Dolph Ziggler? I'd watch that. Give Rhino a Dolph makeover. Okay. How was the podcast? I enjoyed it. I don't know. I always enjoy it, though. Seemed to go well. A couple of tech things that we'll look to correct next time out. And the video is still... the YouTube version of the video is still processing, so it's not up there yet. I wish the turnaround time on that stuff was just faster. It's just not. These are long videos. They take time to process, I guess, you know? Like, we finish what we're going to do with them and then dump them in so that computers can stare at them and chop them up and process them and compress them and recompress them and all that sort of stuff. And that shit just takes forever. Right now, our process automatically kicks out to YouTube. It's the same process we use to upload videos to the site. But it's not super fast. And direct uploading to YouTube is also not super fast. Like, it can be kind of a toss-up at times as to which one of those two things is any faster than the other. Let chat switch the video feed. Yeah, it's... I don't know what it would take to actually wire something like that into our hardware switcher. Plus that feed, I mean, you know, you're the feed we're showing on that live stream is... You know, it's kind of raw because it's us kind of producing the show, and it's live to tape in a lot of ways, but the breaks are longer. And the breaks have the ads in them because that's just the nature of the beast, right? It's it's how the show gets produced. So there's kind of, you know, it's the one situation where premium members are going to see ads, but I think, you know, the trade-off of like, hey, well, you also get to watch this thing live and no one else does, that seems fair to me. So we're going that way with it. The alternative would be to not do it live and then put up the two archive videos at the exact same time they go now. I guess. But yeah, but the way the stuff gets produced, that's kind of how it gets produced, so. And then after the fact, we can go through and snip out the breaks so that the archived version of the video is a little tighter, or, you know, is tighter, I guess I should say. And then at that point, two versions get cut. One where just the breaks get snipped out, so it's show, ad, show. And then another version where it all gets snipped out, so there's no ad, it just comes and goes. Sounds like there's an AV sync issue after that break on this one. That's keyframe stuff. That's solvable in the future. I guess the stream device, the apparently quite expensive machine that streams out that show, as well as all GameSpot's shows... And it can do both simultaneously. But I guess that thing hitched up in a few ways. So that version of the archive was not usable. But we have it recording in three separate places to make sure we've got a version of it. We'll see how it does. I mean, you know, it's a different thing. You know, I've definitely seen some people saying, hey, this is cool, but I'm totally not going to watch the video. I'm going to listen to the show because I was due to the car, all of this stuff. Like, yeah, it's, you know, it's always been about an additional option for people. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we can with a video, we can get it in front of people that that might not listen to podcasts in what we think of as traditional podcast formats. There's definitely an audience for that sort of thing on, like, YouTube and stuff like that, so... And we've been getting requests for that for a while, so, you know, it's, you know, I think it all kind of comes together in a way that everyone can appreciate. I think some people kind of like the shared experience, chat type stuff, whether it's on site or elsewhere, wherever they have their snaky ass hidden chat rooms and stuff like that. Like, people are into that sort of stuff too. So, you know, being able to watch it live, with a group seems to be something that people like to do with a lot of our live shows. So, you know, this is one more of those. Yeah, this billboard, it just says, after you die, you will meet God. And then it has a phone number. Like small at the bottom, and it's just like a little flat lining thing. It's like, oh, well, all right. Cool. All right. I'm into that. Let's see what's up. It's cracking. Can I call the number and... I made a key lane change right there and just passed like 12 cars. Feeling pretty all right about it. And then we got a quick look recorded after that, so that's, you know, that's a pretty productive day, all told. what is on the radio? It's the question that's on everyone's lips. Please don't come around these bars. They tell me that we're all a bunch of animals. The only time they want to turn the cameras on. It's all the fucking shit up. Come on. This is DJ motherfucking Premier. Not Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre. What? Primo. Yeah, we fucking shit up. No, we don't play no games. Now. Motherfucker, please. One of the reasons that me and you close to you. We don't lose. I always win. My last face is you basic boy. Vermilla. 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 Vermilla.
Yeah, Shade 45, man. This is Toka Tuesdays. Got my man Anderson Pack in the house. Don't touch yo, yo. Just in the house. Everybody, LA. In the house, yeah. York, come on, man. Yeah. Be in the house.
See, when I get my money, I want to be like Lucky. Navy blue dream, a BBS is rolling under me. Paper band bungee, bills form, not the opening. Wild eyed dreaming from the cleanest of the kingdom. I'm seeing my inner circle getting tighter than the scrunchie. Early believers knew that I was onto something. Show me the love before the mummies started bubbling. But some called it later, think that they knew me when I was sleeping. I see you doing your thing, and look, homie, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
live shit.
I ain't even done. Go ahead,
bro. Oh, no, I forget about it. We in the house, man. 888 Shade 45. We just having a good time up here, man. It's great to finally meet you, dude. And man, your work ethic and your work, look, you know, it's all right, man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro. Yeah.
Look at them calls line up, man. Let's take a couple of those. 888 Shade 45. 888 Shade 45, what's up? Hello?
Yeah.
You on the air, caller. What's the deal?
Yo, what's up? My name's Black. I'm from Jersey. I've never heard of this dude or this music before, but it sounds like it might be something. How the hell do I find it? I've never even heard of this shit.
Yo, everything is under Anderson Pat. Anderson, AnderSonPaak. Don't forget the dot.
Yeah, he's all over the
album. The album's called Malibu.
Yeah. Do your research.
Yeah, bro.
A fan of Dado, that's what I always say.
I like
dude,
that.
There's always somebody out there be like, yo, what do you do? Who are you? Be like, yo, man. Boom, 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 boom. Yo, let's go to line 3. You're on the air, caller. Shade 45.
Yeah, what's up?
You're on the air, man. What's up?
Yeah, not too
much. I was just saying
that.
I listened
to
Calm
Down, and that song was easily one of the most best songs I've heard since, like, right when I heard, like, Ring of Fortis when Country came out.
Damn. Bro, appreciate
yeah, like,
it, man.
Straight up, like, I heard, right when I heard that song, I knew it was just going to, like, I knew when I listened to the project, that it was just going to be, like, I just got the same feeling of, like, consistency. And I put all my friends on you, that Glowed Up song.
Yup.
You guys should play that. That song is hot, man.
Thank you, bro. Man, shout out to K. Trinata, man. Shout out to
DJ. And I just want to say, you know, you spent some time out in Santa Barbara.
Yep.
I had a buddy out there that actually passed away a few years ago, so I just want to say shout out to Rude Boy, Rudy Norman.
No doubt. God rest his soul.
Thanks for calling. Shade 45, what's up? You're on the air, caller. What's the deal?
Hey, I'm coming out from the Human Experience, trying to make a shout out.
Hello, that shit.
Yeah, sir.
All right, your shit is way loud, dude. It's blowing my heart right now. Yo, who else is on the phone? Hello?
Yo.
Shade 45,
big
what's
fan,
up?
Man.
What's up, dude?
Big fan, man. I like what you did on the Games album on What's Happening. That's the first time I heard about you.
What's happening?
Looking forward for you to come out to San Diego, but I ain't get... Yeah,
bro.
I ain't get to get tickets to the San Diego show, but, man, do your thing. We can support you down here.
I appreciate it, bro.
That Cali love.
Yeah.
One more caller. Hello, Shade 45. What's up? You on the air. Hello?
Yo.
Yeah, what's
yo,
going
yo,
on?
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Yo, Anderson, man.
Yes, sir.
Yo, man, I wanted to know, man, if you gonna do anything with Kendrick, man.
Man, I'm working on it, bro. I'm trying to get
one.
Saying,
like,
I'm trying to get one in the bag, man.
Y'all got the same kind of vibe, man. My homies was just talking about, man, that shit be dope.
Absolutely, man. I'm a big fan, man. We talk a lot. And, we're just all over the world right now. You know, we both trying to just get some time in the studio together. But once it happens, it's going to be something special.
Thanks for calling, man. What's next for you? What's your next stop, man?
I go to Salt Lake City. I'm doing some festival out there. And then I do a show. I got a show in Vegas, and I got a show in my hometown in Ventura. And then I go to LA to do a Heart Festival. Work. And then I'll be on tour. I'm on Malibu tour. I'll be going everywhere. So just, you know, hit up Ticketmaster and AndersonPack.com and just look up. I'll be somewhere near you, hopefully.
That's right.
Yeah.
Easy to find.
Yeah.
You got Anderson Park in the house, man.
Shit, I was talking
about. You thought I was a DJ. Two, big one, yep, three. SC, double low, P, ego, double G. I can't make it, just break it.
So foggy on the Golden Gate Bridge right now, it is crazy. I need Hootie and the Blowfin. No, I do not. It's never, that is never true. Thank you.
because we're the end of July now, August and September, and September 30th is the cutoff to get to the Ranger National Finals trip.
Who would have thought that that would be done on the first Raw of the new era, as Mick Foley dubbed it last night? Very surprising that that wasn't held back for SummerSlam. And before we get to probably the two other biggest stories, maybe the biggest story in Finn Balor's debut, and what an auspicious one it was, and a new championship, we told you, folks, this is why you listen to Busted Open. It's not because of our charming personalities. Well, at least not because of Larry's charming personality, because he's certainly not charming. He is quite the personality. You listen to us because we give you the goods. Our opinions and analysis typically are rooted in the basis of logic and fact, and we try to tie two and two together. Sometimes
we make the most obvious calls in the world and say they'll make another fucking championship belt
here on Sirius XM because we want things to be a certain way, because they should be a certain way, because us as the fans, us as the Busted Open Nation, we deserve it. We pay our hard-earned money for it to be a certain way. So when WWE in particular doesn't deliver, we kind of get irritated, and then we don't understand, and logic doesn't prevail, which it should, which last night was not the case. Logic prevailed. A new style prevailed. Finn Balor, what a debut. Unbelievable how they pushed him to new heights, and Finn Balor now has a chance, if he beats Seth Rollins at SummerSlam, to be the new, dare I say, WWE Universal Champion, which is the second world title, which we told you that whichever brand didn't have the world championship was going to have to create their own. And Raw wasted no time. Stephanie wasted no time last night. But Larry, all of that is to come here on an action-packed edition of Busted Open. I want to get to the production changes right from the top. First, the first thing you see is Michael Cole, Byron Saxton, and thank God Corey Graves is on that panel, because Byron is getting worse. He's worse. But it's completely different. There's no broadcast table. The announcer's table is not ringside anymore, yep. Which is so unusual, at least for the last good chunk of change in terms of time for WWE. It's always been ringside. Now they're back up on that perch, and we've seen them there at times. But obviously, I think there's a positive and a negative. I love the look. It gives you the ability to go with more sweeping looks from the top. It gives you a good shot at the crowd. They turn around and do a stand-up to the camera. They present themselves almost in a, like ESPN would at SportsCenter. Yep. It's very professional. It's very sports-like, the way they do their stand-ups now. But obviously, no announce table ringside, Larry, so that to me takes away something, because that's used as a tool, is used as a weapon, used to throw people through. There's something to it, which is now gone. So let's start production. Let's start with the new spot for the broadcasters.
Raw's been on the air now for, 23 years? Sometimes change needs to be done. It's been a low point for the business ratings-wise. It revamped the whole thing. I liked the look of it. I thought it added a different kind of element of professionalism to it. Any other sports broadcast you see, it usually starts with the broadcasters opening up on camera, standing up, talking. So, it, like you said, it was a different presentation. It presented itself much more sports-like. Do you think
there was more of a serious nature to the presentation?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It just felt like if someone else, for the first time in a while, if someone else walked in the room and you had pro wrestling on, it just had a different aura to it, the way they carried themselves, the way it presented itself. It was much more, you know, it fit, it was different, and it was time for things to be different. Sometimes you don't know what was missing until they do something different.
Sure.
This one worked. Whatever they did yesterday, from the presentation standpoint, to me, it worked.
They came up with some new angles, and they did in-ring interviews like UFC.
It's been around for a long time.
Like, it was cool. Don't get me wrong.
Facelift. I like it.
But fucking excited. Move on.
And I think that facelift and that aura, and I think you hit something there which is so true. I think it was palpable last night for me in that, and I didn't think about it in the way that you just presented it, where if you had your buddies around that were non-wrestling fans,
yeah,
they wouldn't be turning around laughing at you. They right. would be like, oh, this
what
is interesting. You'd be proud for them. You'd have some pride in the system saying, hey, this is what I watch every Monday night. I'm not a geek. Please, you know, don't put me in that category. This is actually cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it's presented in a serious way, and it's very sporting. And, you know, what I looked at was, this really is the beginning of a new era.
Yeah.
This is very different. A lot of presentation aspects were different, even just from the logo standpoint. Logo's new, opens new, theme song's new. Great, so we're off to a good start. Everything's fresh and new. You get to the announcers. They're up on the perch. They're doing the stand-up. That's all new. What I liked, which was carved throughout that broadcast, and I hope it continues, are the camera angles. I thought the cameras were, it was totally shot in a different fashion last night. In fact, I thought camera operators were way more on their game just overall. There was a couple spots, you know, one, I can't remember the match, but it was a bit of a botched spot and the camera pulled away and the tension.
Yeah.
You're seeing sweeping close-ups, you know, super close-ups that are getting right in the grill and then pulling back, a different usage of cameras at different times. I really liked the way they shot it. To me, it was more entertaining the way they shot it with the camera angles and such. And then, look, you know, you throw in a couple in-ring interviews, you give, you know, a little Byron Saxton here with a Sasha Banks, you throw in the Roman Reigns deal at the end, that was interesting, especially in losing fashion to go up to a guy that just lost the match. I like the overall presentation.
It's UFC. They took it from UFC. Like, the fucking interview stuff, they just took it from UFC. Just say it.
With 3 hours missing 40% of your roster.
It's bad.
We wondered how they'd fill the time, but for week one, the returns are great. It forced them to be innovative. It forced them to change things. And sometimes the WWE, at its peaks, has been innovative when they had the hot periods, when things went well. You know, you take a risk sometimes. We said yesterday, you need to create new stars, you need to do new things. And they came out yesterday, and all those changes just made it feel like I was watching a brand new, fresh product. Made me feel like I was watching something that wasn't stale.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, every week programming. Yesterday didn't even, from the beginning, it felt like something that you did not want to miss. So I didn't care if I was going to be there for another 3 hours. For the first time since they'd gone 3 hours, right from the beginning of the show, I was like, I got to see where this entire show is going, because they hooked me right away and everything was just so fresh and different.
And that was also because they threw in a couple of well-timed squash matches. They're trying to build up Braun Strowman. They're trying to bring up and make, you know, larger than life Nia Jax. I thought that those were well-placed. Neville comes back.
Yep.
He's up against Curtis Axel. They call, Curtis Axel, Mr. Irrelevant using the NFL. I mean, Cole did a good, really good job describing everything last night.
Yeah.
He was all over that one, explaining how that's the last pick in the NFL draft, so that's why Curtis Axel is being called Mr. Relevant. At the same time, the second JoJo announces him as Mr. Relevant, you know he's going down hard to whoever's coming out of that tunnel, and you knew it was Neville because they teased that he was up next.
Right.
So he came out, you knew that was a showcase match for Neville. But then they threw in some things that we've talked about over the course of the last X amount of months, even years, which, you go 3+ hours with Monday Night Raw, you might as well have video packages.
Yeah.
That highlight guys. So you got a Balor package, you got a Roman Reigns package. Have a package or two every single Monday night. It takes up time, and it's what WWE does best.
Right.
They make great packages. They highlight and push their stars in a produced mechanism better than anybody across the board in sports.
100%.
So why not do more of it? And again, it takes up time, but I think it's well worth the time that's taken up. And honestly, I'd rather see that than see poor matches. You didn't see any poor matches last night. Every match had a place. It had a reason. Even the tease for the cruiserweights, Larry, that was fantastic. Oh, by the way, seeing your guys, when they did the cruiserweight tease, it was the CWC guys.
I know. And when I saw that, I originally thought they were just hyping up the cruiserweight network commercials.
Like, me too.
So I was half paying attention. And then when I saw Coming to Raw right afterwards, it took me about a couple seconds, and I was like, it's like, oh my God, they're bringing those guys right to Raw. And my excitement level just went through the roof, because now I have a lot of friends I can borrow a lot more money from, number one. But also because
your Rich Swan pick was pretty good.
Hey, you know, this could happen for me. And it's just watching the cruiserweight thing and knowing that's happening. Yesterday bought goodwill from me, right? Now I want to see what happens tonight. I cannot wait for next Monday. I almost want to, even though I could probably hit up 20 people and get a free ticket for SummerSlam in Brooklyn, I want to literally go out now and buy a ticket for SummerSlam, because they got me yesterday in 3 hours to care about this product in ways I haven't cared about it in years. And that's a fantastic job on their part.
And to come out of last night with not just one, not just two, but three huge stories to carry it forward.
Right.
The Finn Balor story, the Sasha Banks story, and just the Universal Championship story in itself, the creation of a new world title for WWE. Those are three things that are going to carry you past SummerSlam.
Right.
So all good notes, high notes for WWE to get going
their
first Monday Night Raw in the new era. Let's start with Finn Balor. I mean, they gave
it was a good show. I liked the show.
Galore.
I liked a lot of the things they're even pointing out.
To be hidden on that lineup of the Raw roster.
Christ.
And then to be that eighth person that was mentioned by Mick Foley in terms of the dual four-on-four, the dual fatal four-way matches that we saw, which ultimately led to the finals of Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor, and then Balor advancing. Now he's going to face Seth Rollins at SummerSlam for the new Universal Championship. I mean, he kind of slid out of there from the background. Mick Foley calls Finn Balor. They part the seas. Balor comes through, and that's huge star power. And then fast forward after the break, there's Finn Balor. He gets the last entrance. You had three big-time guys, obviously, in Rusev, in Owens, and I'm forgetting who else was in that match. That was Cesaro was the other person in that match. Balor was the marquee guy. He came out. The other guys gave him the powder. He had the ring to himself, and he took his time on that entrance.
Yeah.
I mean, he did the full-on ta-ta-ta-ta-ta with the audience and everything. I mean, he got major, major star power push from the WWE machine, to the point where, you know, he beats Rusev, then he beats Reigns, which is just a huge jump right there in terms of the level of talent, in terms of the level of push. I mean, just a really, really unbelievable debut for Finn Balor.
And you sat there, and you kind of expected him to win the four-way, right? When the entrance came out, you're like, well, they're going to give him the win here. But then you probably spent the next 3 hours going, well, they're going to screw this up on us tonight. Like, they're not going to give it to you. They're not going to give it to you. Because you've almost been trained at this point to know that, like, don't get your expectations too high. And they, to their credit, they pulled it. They did it last week by drafting him early. He got drafted in the first block of picks. They gave him the grand entrance today. And they pulled the trigger on somebody on the first Raw of the quote-unquote new era. And that takes guts. It went over the guy they've been grooming for 2 years. And now it's going to be him in a major match with Seth Rollins. It just it speaks to freshness. It was taking a chance. And it was a chance they needed to take. And it's beautiful.
Does he have that marquee, that juice to be able to carry this through? So when we get to SummerSlam, and this is for the championship, it is locked in now.
Yeah.
Balor versus Rollins. Do you see him as WWE Universal Champion after SummerSlam? Is he your first ever Universal Champion?
Brooklyn's the place to do it if you're going to do it, because I think that Brooklyn.
But you could say the same thing for Seth Rollins, though.
I don't think you could. I don't think you can make a wrong choice with this. I obviously, usually, right, the money's quote unquote in the chase. So Rollins wins the belt. Balor chases after it a little bit. You know, there's a Reigns heel turn now seemingly brewing here for me. You know, you can do a Rollins-Reigns reunion as some sort of way to screw Finn out of the title at SummerSlam. I can see Finn winning it at SummerSlam, but I think they did enough yesterday to make him a player immediately that there's no harm done if Rollins is the one that wins the belt.
Or you have the final stamp in a double turn.
Yeah.
Really, it's a turn and somewhat of a turn for Rollins in that, what about the Balor Club?
Right.
What about Anderson and Gallows helping out Finn Balor at SummerSlam and screwing Rollins? Then Rollins, you know, could be cast as more of a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
And Finn Balor, with his boys, now he's the Universal Champion and they're running amok on Raw. I love that idea.
You can go. And they kept those guys apart yesterday for probably good reason. Maybe they want to plant that seed later on.
They might keep them apart through SummerSlam or till SummerSlam.
Yeah, somehow, against everything we would have predicted, having less wrestlers to choose from in the pool allowed them to focus on different guys and create new stars. So they can. I like the fact they can take their time at Balor now. We got a whole month. We already know two major matches for SummerSlam. We know Brock and Randy, and we know Balor and Rollins. And we pretty much have a month to build up to it. We're pretty certain
about AJ Cena that's going to happen. We'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, let's see what happens with Ambrose with the title, with the linear WWE Heavyweight Championship, the world title. We'll have to see what happens with that. But for a month out of a major show just coming off one pay-per-view, right now building up to the next one, I am more excited for a show one day into a build than I've been. I mean, I cannot remember the last time I was literally this excited for a show coming up.
They put some major building blocks in there for Monday Night Raw. They showed you who their stars are going to be. They told you straight up, just as the show is starting, that Owens, Rusev, Cesaro, Balor, and Reigns, Zayn, Sheamus, and Y2J are your top eight on Monday Night Raw. That's obviously with Brock Lesnar. He's got his own match booked. He's a part-timer. He doesn't really need to be in that conversation, to be honest. And maybe he's not even a top eight. If you think about the whole lexicon of Raw, he's just a specialty act that comes in, you know, X, Y, and Z times over the course of the year. And you have a big build and you build a match around him, but you don't focus on him when it comes to the overall roster. You know who the top eight are. You know who the top women are. You only saw three of them really last night. I'm not including Dana Brooke in the conversation. Goodness, I would not include Dana Brooke in that conversation.
Why am I listening to this?
And I agree. Nia Jax should be a force to be reckoned with. If they're going to build her up, this is the way to build her up. And I would also say, too, about Jax, you know, the conversation should be had, squash match or no squash match. Does it make sense? Does it really get folks over? When was the last time it happened? Go back to Ryback.
Right.
The squash matches got Ryback over. It got him to a point where he was such a force, he ended up right in the main event scene, Larry.
Yeah.
Now, granted, did they do well with him once he got to the main event scene? I think the conversation could be had both ways. Long term,
oh, really?
Failed when it came to Ryback. Right. No doubt about it. But Nia Jax could be a female version of Ryback.
You think there's a conversation to be had there about how that went?
Physical in nature, and you saw
a debate to be had. Okay, sure. Yeah.
A hint of it last night. You didn't see like those lengthy NXT matches, which we saw a couple of, where Nia's really improved her cardio. She's improved her overall ring skill. I think she could be a top player in the women's division.
Oh, 100%. And I think that the way they presented the women yesterday, especially, shows that they want to present the women in a more serious fashion and make them almost top tier acts themselves. It's no longer just lip service. So doing this with Nia and getting her to go out there and have those kind of matches and showcase some of her moveset and let her go out there and start a slow build to get the crowd familiar with her is 100% the right move, because Sasha is the hands down favorite women's wrestler on the roster right now for the fans out there, and Jax could be that monster that can go out there and hurt her and damage her and be a real credible threat for her. And maybe, you know, maybe not SummerSlam, maybe the next show after that, but it's definitely a contender that you can build up to and do it the right way.
Well, the interesting part too is you do have Paige, who you didn't see last night. She is on the Raw brand. She might be a good stepping stone for Nia Jax if you want to go that route. I mean, she is a multi-time women's champion.
Absolutely. They got, you know, the women's rosters on both brands are a little bit more shallow than they were before, but they have a chance now. They need to showcase the people they want to get behind.
Sure.
Sasha and Charlotte had a great match. And Jax right now looks like the de facto number one contender going forward.
And you saw those showcases elsewhere on the card. So we're talking the women's. We're certainly talking main card. You know, on the tag side of things, you got New Day. You got the club. And you have Enzo and Cass. That was what was showcased last night. You even got a little the Shining Stars, but they ended up getting felled by Pokemon and that ridiculous Golden Truth gimmick. Unfortunately, for them, they take the loss, but really that was all about Enzo and Cass. So you have three top tag teams as well as you move forward.
But the thing is,
unfortunately for them, they take the loss. Oh, darn. Yeah, they lost a wrestling match. That's... It's insane the way these fucking guys talk about wrestling. Like, this back and forth they have of, like, oh, yeah, we gotta get right... They're talking about getting Ryback over. And then right into, oh, it's a bummer they lost. Too bad for them that they lost that match. Oh. It's exhausting. I am fascinated by like the concept of a satellite radio show, a call-in show about wrestling. I think that's neat. I guess that it exists at all. All right, what do we got here on my
B?
No. Subscribe to satellite radio, and I wonder with all these channels, all these specialty channels, I wonder what kind of listenership some of those shows get. Specifically ask because I wouldn't. I bet on a show by show basis. And it's not always an apples to apples comparison because there's a shelf life for a show versus on the radio, it's on and then it's not on. I bet our podcast is bigger than a lot of radio shows on satellite radio in terms of audience. Maybe I'm wildly wrong. I don't know enough about their installed base of subscribers. Million subs as of April. Yeah, man, that's a fucking lot. I wonder how many of those people actively engage with it and how many of them are on a trial that they get with buying a new car. Like, how many of those come from new car sales that don't turn into... Like, what's the churn like on that, I wonder. I think we can all agree, free V Nasty. Even though V Nasty has theoretically already been freed, we should still... free. I'm home. It's very exciting. And have a great night. I'll see you later.